If I can find my quiz sheet here. Boy, this has been good. It's great. Okay, it's who said this? I got two. If I were the devil, I would get control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude the minds into thinking that they had come from man's effort instead of God's blessing. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into gambling, into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not important. It's not an issue when it comes to leadership. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babes. I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. I would cheapen human life as much as possible so that the life of animals are valued more than human beings. I would take God out of the schools where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young. I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the minds of people in the family, every family member, for my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy and fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on campus and movie screens, and I would call it art. I would convince the people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves politically correct and authorities for their political agenda. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant, out of date, and the Bible is for the naive. I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. If I were the devil, I guess I would leave things pretty much the way they are. Who said that? How many vote Paul Harvey? That's about 6 votes. How many vote somebody else? Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey. He wrote this in the 50s or 60s. You'd almost call him a prophet. Yeah, isn't that something?
We're here. We are here.
Right here where he was talking about.
Right.
Okay, who said this? America the beautiful, or so it used to be, land of the pilgrims' pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from teaching of God's love and need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples, how calloused we have grown, when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but to stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the Beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. Who do you think said that? Who do you think wrote it? Nancy, you win. He has been reappointed to the Supreme Court of Alabama. Judge Roy Moore. Boy, this is current and that's prophetic. Isn't that something? We're living in that day, folks. You know the answer? People just like those in this congregation. That's the answer to what's right. Against what's wrong, and you stand for what's right. And don't only just stand in your heart, but you stand in your head, and you stand in your mouth, and talk to people. And the only hope we have of this nation is to once again hit the revival trail. That's the only hope. If we don't have revival in this nation, we're gone for. We're done. We can meet together, we can worship, we can agree, we can say amen, and we know it's the truth, and we know it's right, but unless it begins to spread, there's no hope. Now, how's it going to spread? People just like those of us who are in this auditorium. But do you know something? The average Christian has lockjaw when it comes to spiritual things. Or we get together with our parties and we get together with our church assemblies and we get together and we talk about the Lord, and that's great. That's wonderful. But it needs to spread. You see, five people in 1857 got together and started praying. Of all cities, New York. More gained, more joined. And the crowds grew. And then numberless people were coming in, and revival hit the United States of America and swept across this country, and it was felt abroad. We're living in a day where if that doesn't come, the Lord is going to. He's going to come. Just as sure as you're sitting here. And we're living in a day that is biblical in its proportions in what is taking place right now. We're seeing it on every hand. The Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, and that could be any time. Lord, give us a vision. I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18. Proverbs 29:18. You know, I'm so glad to see this. I think, Pastor, I believe when visitors come to this church and your congregation stands, these visitors are going to say, there's something different about Heritage. I believe that. Because out of respect of God's Word, that's what happened when victory was won and the people stood. And so I'm reading a verse for our text in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Let's read it together, just one verse for our text. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Once again, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Father, we pray that thou wilt help as the message is delivered tonight. We pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts. We pray from this moment forward, we will see things begin to change in our lives, in the life of this church, in the life of all the visitors and the surrounding areas. And help us, Lord, to be what it means to be true children of God and follow through with that commandment, ye shall be my witnesses. Help us, Lord, to follow thee and thy word, bless in the preaching of it tonight, right now. Thank thee for the wonderful messages that we've heard. And we pray that thou wilt speak to every one of our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, All the people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. That's in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18. The Hebrew word for vision means to perceive. The Greek is to see. A vision is a supernatural presentation to the mind of a person while he is awake. Where there is no vision, the people perish. 2 Peter 1:9, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. A Minnesota pastor told me one time, it makes no difference what you believe about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was called to a church in Evergreen Park, Illinois. One of the fine pastors of that area called me, said I'd like to take you out to eat. And he picked a real cheap sandwich shop. And that was no reflection on him, of course. It's just that he didn't have much money, I suppose. But this is what he said. He's given me advice. I just come there. And he said, it makes no difference what you believe about the second coming. As a pastor in Evergreen Park, that's the place, same village I was called to preach in, the Bethel Baptist Church there. He said, I care only for my church members. It keeps me busy. God help us in this day of padded pews, church boards, and committee. A committee is a group of the unqualified appointed by the unwilling to do the unnecessary, to read the minutes, to waste the hours. And the surest way to kill anything is to put it in the hands of a committee. Now, if you want something done, ask a man to do it, and he'll do it. If you need a lady, you ask her, she'll do it. That's God's method. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we're living in that kind of a day. We're living in that day when things are going contrary to God's word. So what do we need? Jeremiah 6:16, 15 and 16. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and we shall find rest for our souls. But, they said, we will not walk therein. Folks, this just came from Bible times. This just came from, we're seeing pestilence on every hand. And what does the Bible say about that? Look up! Your redemption draweth nigh. We may be limited with our lifetime. We may be limited by not looking up too. So the Bible is teaching us what to do and how to do it. The Bible teaches us. I'm thinking about all of the things that we used to do and go to some of the preachers' meetings. And I've been to some preachers' meetings. And they were brag sessions. They were just giving religious speeches. In many churches, the platform has become a stage. The pulpit, a podium. Music is a performance. Ministry is a production. They use plastic bulletins, and they come to hoop it up rather than to pray it down. We're living in that kind of a... And the Southern Baptist churches have lost thousands and lost many churches this past year as the reports come over the air. What's going on? They're being taken by emotion. And people are flooding out of these places. The churches where once preached the Word of God, and now they're weakening their message. If there's anything we need in this state and the United States of America, it's the preaching of the Word of God from the Bible. Of course, we don't have any other Bible or any other choice. This is our Bible. It's the Bible that God called the closest translations to. And it's the King James, and we've got to use it. This is the only way to go, folks. We've got to go God's way. It is the only way. We're living in a day of unconcern, calloused hearts. We're living in a day of another gospel.
Yeah.
The Bible is teaching us very clearly. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall with them that fall at that time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And we shall find rest for your souls. Listen to this. In Bible times, but they said, we will not walk therein. It looks like the front page of the religious headlines of the United States of America.
Right.
We need to have a vision. We're living in a day of unconcern.
Yeah.
People are calloused. You ask folks to come to church with you and they say, oh, I've had that before. I've already had that. No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. And by the way, we're going to go to the movies tonight.
Yeah.
No, we got a dance planned. We can't interfere with that. And here we go.
Yeah.
What's the answer? There's only one answer, and that's Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to hear about Jesus Christ, He's not going to speak from heaven. He's not going to send some angel unless that angel is in your body. And the only way that we're going to get the right way out to these people is through personal testimonies and personal invitations and personal soul winners. There used to be a day when churches were full of soul winners.
Yep.
Now you can count them on one hand or less.
Yeah.
That's a shame. God's way is the best way. He that winneth souls is wise. Preacher, that means we got a lot of dumb Baptists today. What's the opposite of wisdom? So the Bible is teaching us very clearly. The place of no vision. I heard about a little boy that came with his cat pistol. Now, the church was a church that was on fire. But now the people had filtered out and they'd been filled in by religious people. And this little fella had his cat pistol and he loaded it with a triple load of caps. And right when the preacher was preaching or talking or whatever he was doing, the little fella pulled the cat pistol out and pow! Shot it off and scared the people half to their wits. And the mother picked up the little kid by the hand and started out the back door. And one of the old saints said, she's about the only one who's left in a once good church. She held the mother down. She said, don't be too bad on the boy. Said, he scared more hell out of the people than that preacher has in the last 2 years. And so, praise the Lord for little guys that got the cap pistols. It got the point across. Now, the Bible is teaching there's no vision. We're unconcerned. We're cold. We're callous. Hard hearts. Another gospel. No joy. People are puppets anymore. All you hear is a social gospel. Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
And I say amen to that too.
Amen.
No message on Christ's return. No messages on missions.
Hello.
No message. More entertainment
than
holy convocation. We're living in that kind of a situation. You got to sing and you got to sway. You got to get up and do different things. And you've got to hold a mic in your fan and get over and wiggle around. And you've got to say things that are not possible to say for the Lord. We're living in that day, folks. Now, question, how is it going to stop? They need the alternative. I've forgotten how many hundreds of thousands of people have left the Southern Baptist churches. Where are they going? Well, we got one right across the street from our church. Highland Park Baptist Church is no more. Now it's the Church of the Highlands. They play drums so loud over there that we can hear them across the street through our closed windows in our building.
God have mercy.
And just to think, Dr. Lee Robertson bought the property our church is on for $600. The whole thing, $3,300. 63 acres over here, 6.5 acres here, and bought the whole thing for $3,300. Now, our church was a chapel of Highland Park Baptist Church. And in order to be separated from Highland Park Baptist Church, the 6.5 acres that the people of our church built the building, paid for the building, bought all the pews, bought everything in the church, did everything, air conditioned the whole thing, seats about 200 and 225, 250 maybe. And the people of the church, we bought the church, and in order to get separated from the new group of people across the road at Camp Joy, in order to get separated, we had to buy our part, which we had built for over $600,000 in order to get the deed to the property. Now, God's going to judge some people for some certain things. And for those of us who grew up in the Highland Park Baptist Church, and my wife was one of them. She's right there. I didn't come until the age of 18. And then I was there for college and seminary. And that's where we got married, and that's where we love. And we go to, we're members of the church right across from a street where we have to hear the drums bounding and booming over there across the street. That's what it's going to. And some of the good people are now seduced into that very thing. What's happening? You've had people that leave this church and have gone to some of those churches just like that. And every one of you pastors here have probably got a testimony just like I'm describing to you right now. You know what's going on. Feed your flock. Feed them the right kind of food. And they will keep coming home. And they will be there until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the remnant we have. Now, the place of no vision, they talk a lot, but they don't walk. It's a deeper life conference. People of no vision are satisfied. They have sensitive feelings. They're bound by tradition. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. That's what we're seeing today. A place of vision is friendly, it's warm, it's friendship. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. There's a burden for the lost world. Thank God for that. We've been overseas 48 different times. And we were in Spain. And I was there early enough to be in the prayer meeting, on a Saturday prayer meeting in this military work. And this one man, Sergeant Bernard Richardson, the Air Force, said, I want you to pray for my wife, Rue, and my children. Rue is lost. She won't come to church. So we prayed that she would come tomorrow. This is Saturday for the prayer breakfast. And I saw the sergeant. I said, Sergeant, she's here. He said, no, she wouldn't come. Well, maybe she'll come tonight. She's here tonight. She won't come. And we were there for a Sunday through Sunday revival meeting. She didn't come through Saturday night. Sunday morning, Sergeant came up to me and he says, Brother Brown, she's here. She's here. She's here. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. So I finished preaching. And I have a little gospel nut. I started bringing that tonight. There's a lot of gospel nuts running around. But this one is a little nut and colors come out of it. It's colors. And it tells about the city of gold, and it tells about the blood of Jesus Christ and how to be saved and all that business. And so I used that. And she was in the building. And just as soon as the service was dismissed, she ran out the back door. I said, oh my. We've been praying for her to be saved. And there she's gone. She left. I said something that offended the lady. So I went out. It was hot. Oh, man, was it hot in Spain. You don't know hot until you get in Spain when it's summertime. And I went outside, and I was just wringing. And I took my coat off, and I was out there. And I came back inside, walked up, got ready to get up on the platform. And she came through the door about like that over there. It was just went that way. Didn't go that way. Just exactly like your door. She came around, and She came up to me. She said, Brother Brown, can I be saved?
Glory to God.
Oh, my. We've been praying for her. The sergeant had been praying for her. Her two girls were saved. She wasn't saved. She wouldn't even come to church, but she was there. Prayer changes things. And I said, yes, ma'am. So I went out the door, and we got in a Sunday school room, and I said, now, I think it'll work real good if you get down on your knees, Miss Richardson. Boy, she just got down on her knees. That's a pretty good way to get saved. Down on your knees. That shows humility. That shows an open heart. And so I prayed for her. And I said, now, Mrs. Richardson, you read English? And she said, I said, okay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, you're a part of the world. She understood that. That He gave His only begotten Son. Since you're a part of the world, He loved the world, and He gave you Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. If you believe in Jesus, you'll never go to hell. But you'll have everlasting life. She said, that's what I want. That's what I want. I said, okay, you tell God that. And she said, I don't know how. I said, I'll help you. And so I just said, dear Lord. And she said, dear Lord, in her dialect, in her language. She was a Korean. And you could understand that how she would speak. And dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. She's on her knees. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you died on the cross for me. And right now, you promised you'd save whosoever call upon the name of the Lord. You will save me if I ask you. So, ask Him to save you. And she said, Jesus, will you save me? And I think that very moment, she was saved. So, church service had started, and we came in through that door, and the singing stopped. They saw what was over. And the whole crowd was praying for this woman. And I looked at her, and I said, you want to tell them what happened? She said, I've just been saved. Man, you thought I was in a holiness convention. Listen, some of the greatest churches in the world, are you listening, are military churches. If you don't believe it, just go over there and see what's taking place. First time I met Bart Spence was over there at Hahn Air Force Base. Listen, people need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they want to be saved. They don't know how to be saved. And we're living in a day of all kinds of complex problems. And we're living in a day where somebody could push a button and blow the whole world into smithereens. Right. And the only people that are going up are people just like you who are born again in this auditorium. Now it's our responsibility. Don't put this responsibility off on somebody else. It's our responsibility. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to have friendly and warm fellowship. We're to invite others. We're to have a burden for the lost world. I heard a story. I don't know how true it was. But it was back during the war between the states. I don't call it a civil war. I didn't see anything civil about it. So I call it the war between the states. You may want to choose to do that yourself. And so anyway, here were the Confederates, and they were in their camp, and they saw a rustling behind them. And they all got in position, pointed their guns in that direction, and here came an old farmer, an old man, carrying his squirrel rifle over his shoulder, just coming up through the woods. And when they saw that there was no harm to them. They gathered up and said, what's going on, man? He said, what do them Yankees look like? And they said, oh, you don't, why don't you go on back and take care of your house and your home and take care of your sheep and go on back and take care of your cattle. Don't come up. This is not your wards. He said, look, funny, Sonny, I don't want you to get funny with me, but I just want to know what them Yankees look like. And they thought they'd humor him. He said, well, they wear blue uniforms and they got these little caps and all that. Thank you. And he took off toward the lines. Late in the afternoon, they saw some rustling. And all the Confederate soldiers got their guns ready and they were pointing them in that direction. And here came almost a dozen Yankee soldiers with their hands up in the air and the old man with the squirrel rifle right behind them. And he said, take care of these here fellers, Sonny boy. Take care of these fellers. They said, Grandpa, where'd you get them? He said, the woods is full of them. The woods is full of them. You'll find more people in this neighborhood on their way to hell than on their way to heaven. Now, that may be a fictitious story, but you understand what it means, don't you? I suppose, I don't know what the population is of this town.
60,000.
How many gospel preaching churches would be in this area? I won't put you on the spot.
There's four fundamentals.
Four fundamentals. Well, that would tell people how to go to heaven. That's what I'm talking about. More than that, okay. Well, say there would there be 1,000 or 2,000 people that really are believers and had the evidence of it? Would that be a conservative or would that be about right? 2,000? Say it's 5,000. What percentage is that out of 60,000? Did you say 60,000? And the woods is full of them. The woods is full of them. Now listen. We believe the Bible, right?
Amen.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the things done in our bodies, whether they've been what? Good or bad. Do you think it's good to witness?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's good to do your best to pray for your friends, your relatives? Do you think it's good to do your best in trying your best to convince them to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you think it's good to call them day after day and time after time? We want you to come to our church. We sure would. I'll come by and pick you up. Do you think it's good to do that?
Absolutely.
Well then, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is
sin.
What do you say? What do you say? Right now, during this time, every believer in this building ought to be thinking about at least 5 people, maybe your own relatives, that are going to hell if they don't trust Christ as their personal Savior. I believe if you just close your eyes and begin to count, you'd be surprised at how many people you'll name to yourself. But God knows. And He knows all of these people. And He knows you. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And you have eternal life. But how about the crowd? God help us in this day. Be friendly. Be warm. Have a burden. Have a burden. And then, people who love the Lord are anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Be people of vision. I'm told that 10% of the Christians do 90% of the work for the Savior. Persevere, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain with the Lord. Be determined. Here's a business failure. At the age of 22, He accumulated more money and tried again. His partner drank up all the assets in 2 years. In debt until he was 39. Offered a job that required equipment. It was all repossessed. He was completely broke. His friends looked upon him as a failure. He was crushed by the death of the woman that he truly loved. 10 years later, he tried politics, and after 2 years, he was thrown out by the voters. After a dozen years of defeat, he was elected President of the United States. His name, Abraham Lincoln. Be positive. Take on more. Grow in the Lord. Get in line. Many are called. Few are chosen. Fall in love anew with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother R.A. Torrey was preaching, and great crowds would come and hear this man. Torrey has a revival prescription that has always worked. I can give a prescription that will bring a revival to any church or any community on the city of earth. I've given it over and over again, and no instance has it ever failed. And so R.A. Torrey was preaching, and I think it was the Moody Church. We've been right there. That's where she was saved. She was saved as a 5-year-old girl when Harry Ironside was preaching at the Moody Church. It was really a joy. A few years ago, we went back to Moody Church, and we had a relative that knew one of the guards there at the church, and he let us in. And she went back, and she sat just about right in here when Harry Ironside was preaching. And she started weeping. And her mother, a sensitive mother, took her in the back to the inquiry room. There's an inquiry room, and that's when you go inquire about Jesus. And that's the way they dealt with him back there. And there's a 5-year-old girl under the preaching of D.L. Moody. She asked Christ to be her Savior.
Amen.
That was a wonderful thing. We need revival. And the only way to have revival is to have it. Torrey was preaching. Torrey said, right off the coast of Michigan, Lake Michigan, there was a party boat. And the boat went down. And he said, there was a young man that was a good swimmer. And he ripped off his shoes and part of his clothes and dove into the water. And he brought 22 people from a watery grave. And if that man would have enough compassion to risk his own life, to go out there and rescue drowning people from a watery grave in Lake Michigan, how much more should our burden be for rescuing those that are drowning into the depths of depression and going to the depths of hell. Torrey finished. Thousands came to Jesus Christ through the ministry of R.A. Torrey. Man came up to him, said, Mr. Torrey, I heard your illustration about that. And Torrey said, you know, that's a true story. And he said, yes, sir, I know it's a true story. Well, we said, what do you know about it? He said, you're looking at the swimmer that brought those people from a watery grave. It was 22, I believe it was the right number. And Torrey got so excited. He said, oh, sir. He said, sir, what have you heard from those people that you saved the lives of? Saved them from drowning. What have you heard? He dropped his head and said, Mr. Torrey, not a one of them has come and thanked me for saving their lives. You know what's worse than that? To keep a stiff lip, lock your mouth and your jaws, and not witness to your friends about Jesus. That's worse than bringing people from a watery grave. Ye shall be my witnesses. Now, folks, we may as well throw in the towel if we're going to neglect the Bible. We may as well just quit. May as well just quit. The least you can do is hand out a Bible tract. If I asked that, how many hand out Bible tracts on a regular basis, I would hate to see, I wouldn't want to embarrass you, but anybody can hand out a Bible tract. Now I found one that I don't hand out. They ask me for it. That way I don't have to be turned down. And I don't like to be turned down. And I handed out some today. We went over Sam's. And I lifted up and I said, have you ever heard of this guy? Who hadn't heard of him? I said, well, I'll give it to you if you read it. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to read it. We shall be witnesses. We shall be witnesses. Now, that's optional. The Lord's not going to give us a whipping. Well, maybe He will a little bit now. But what I'm concerned about is standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment seat. I wonder how few of us will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm wondering. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. It's on my mind constantly. And we've got to have a burden. Our people are going to go to hell. And we've got to activate that burden. And we've got to do what the Lord has said in His Word. Ye shall be my witnesses. That's a command. That's not, well, when you feel like it, go to visitation. Well, that I will go, but there's a ball game on. I just got to see this ball game tonight. I have a friend. He's with the Lord now. His name is Hugh Pyle. He preached a sermon on Tell It to the Judge. Oh, Pastor, I'm... Tell it to the judge. Oh, Pastor, I have the... Tell it to the judge. I couldn't be... Tell it to the judge. We'll have a chance. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they've been good or bad. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Help us to see what God sees. Help us, Lord, to make an about face tonight. Help us, Lord, to be what we should be for the glory of God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's all stand quietly to our feet, please. If you have somebody upon your heart, somebody you know, could be a relative, could be a friend, could be a neighbor. And if you're saved and you don't have somebody upon your heart, I believe at this time the Lord will bring some name to your mind. I believe that, if you're saved, because you'll have a compassionate concern for your loved ones or your neighbors. And tonight, I'm going to ask all of those that have a name upon their heart and upon their mind, if you will come down the aisle and stand where you would love to see your friends or your relatives, whoever you're thinking about, you would love to see them stand here at the front professing Christ as their personal Savior. And if we could have the instrument play quietly, and as the instruments are playing, if you have somebody upon your heart, just come and stand where you want to see them stand here at the front. That means you're going to talk to them. That means you're going to witness to them. That means you're going to do everything within your power to get them here. That means that you're going to call their name before the Lord every day, many times a day, until you see them put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I want you just to talk to us. Would you just talk to us now? They got names on their minds. They got names on their minds. Some are here in the town. Some are outside the town. Preachers are here. Soul winners are here. And those that want to be soul winners are here. And sometimes I just ask the names. I believe I'll do that. If that's all right, then I want you to be with me. Okay? All right? I'm going to start over here by the piano side and look up and just give me the name or friend or relative or whatever.
Bruce.
The name of the people you're praying to be saved.
Rosie.
Tasha. Tandy.
Uncle Larry.
Amen.
Cindy.
Amen.
Lily.
Matt Jensen.
Amen.
Aunt Sharon and Aunt Pam.
Relatives.
Co-workers, Cody and Jammers.
Amen.
Neighbors, Mike and Cecil.
Trey.
Trey and Jason.
Amen.
My neighbor, Brother Frank, or Mr. Frank.
Amen.
My wife's whole side of the family.
Two of my cousins.
Amen.
Both sides of my family, both sides of my wife's family.
Mike.
My co-workers, Jill, Casey, Jill, and Jean.
Amen.
My neighbor, Michael, and Mark.
A friend of mine in Nepal called Tech.
Amen. Pastor, you have a final word for us?
Now,
God, we have faith to believe that God...
My next-door neighbor, Bernie and Karen. They're good people. You know, if we keep praying and we keep inviting, the Bible says His word will not return void. And sometimes God has to use us, take our life, change it around to get them to appreciate what we do and who we are. But I'll tell you what, it's still that buttonhole, that grabbing hold and saying, I love you, and I'm praying for you.
Amen.
And it'll change. He could change your church, change our church. And that's really what we're here for. For the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pray when the storm clouds gather overhead. Pray till the light breaks through. You heard that
Amen.
Song?
Amen.
That's a good way to pray.
Amen.
Pray for them until they get saved. And it won't hurt to let them know that you're praying.
That's right. That's right.
That's the beginning.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, you see this crowd here, Lord God. Practically everyone's out of their seat. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that at the next meeting that we have at Intermountain Baptist Fellowship, we can rejoice and remember the message that Brother Braun brought to us and say, hey, you know what? You know my neighbors? They got saved. They're church now. They're serving God. Lord, we could say, you remember my aunt and uncle I was praying for? You remember my wife's family and my family? They got saved. Lord God, that's revival. Lord, may it start with us. And all God's people said, Amen. You're dismissed.